You're listening to the Restaurant Operator Podcast.
Get the latest restaurant industry headlines delivered to your inbox every weekday with Restaurant Operator Daily. With this one newsletter, you'll get the top stories from leading news sites like fastcasual.com, pizzamarketplace.com, and qsrweb.com. Join more than 30,000 subscribers who rely on Restaurant Operator Daily to keep them informed on the most important industry news and trends. Subscribe today at restaurantoperatordaily.com.
Hello, and welcome to the Restaurant Operator Podcast. I'm Mandy Detweiler, Managing Editor for NetWorld Media Group and the Site Editor for Pizza Marketplace and QSR Web. I'm here today with Don Smith, Director of Business Development for GiveX North America, and we're talking about the restaurant industry and what's affecting it today. Don, thanks so much for being with us.
It's a pleasure to be here, and nice to meet you, Mandy.
Nice to meet you as well. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about GiveX?
Well, first for myself, I was destined to be an accountant, but to pay for schooling, I ended up working in a large hotel in the Canadian Rockies, and I fell in love with the hospitality industry. And during the 7 seasons I was out there, I managed to do almost every job and then returned to the city and stayed in the hospitality industry, eventually moving into sales and sales of technology, which I really love. So the industry is always changing. There's always new challenges, and I really enjoy it. With GiveX, our company, POS Canada, was acquired by GiveX 6.5 years ago. We were brought in to bring in some POS expertise. And GiveX, which is a very strong 25-year company, had started its own very unique solution. And now, with contributions from a lot of our team members and recent acquisitions, their POS offerings and all their integrations has brought a powerful, valuable solution to many of our growing client base.
Awesome. Well, let's get started on the bulk of our podcast today. Let's talk about online ordering. It's only increased since the end of the pandemic. How are your clients dealing with it?
You know, it's been a seesaw battle for them. The more orders they get obviously drives more money to their bottom line. But the challenge is trying to get more of that dollar for online ordering. As you know, the main ordering sites take a great percentage of every order, 30% by the Uber Eats, Skip the Dishes as such. And so our clients post-pandemic are doing their very best to try and claw back some of that 30%. How they're doing it now is through a many-faceted approach. It combines some loyalty, it combines some private apps, and if they make the right combination, they can claw back some of that 30%. I can give you a great example. One of our clients right in downtown Toronto experiences 120 Uber Eats orders between midnight and 6 a.m., a tremendous amount of revenue.
Wow.
But they want to claw back that 30%, but there's some challenges because they know the type of clientele that are ordering don't want to get off their couch, don't want to go into downtown Toronto at that hour to pick up their favorite food. So delivery has to be a key component. So they move to their own private app, or at least are trying to. And to entice people to move off Uber Eats, they have to offer some sort of hook. And that's where loyalty comes in. A loyalty program or an upfront discount on their first number of orders. Move them away from Uber Eats to their private app. But then the challenge becomes, how do I deliver that food and try and deliver it cheaply? DoorDash started first with a driver-only solution, but an $8 or so charge for a delivery impacted the restaurant's profitability. And now their competitor, Uber Eats, has come up with their own driver delivery, but in a more clever method in that they offer different prices for different ranges, and the lowest price being within 3 miles. So now the restaurants analyze most of their Uber Eats orders come within 3 miles, so they can input their own private app, offer a loyalty discount, use a low-priced Uber Eats delivery service, and they can claw back 15 to 18% of the 30% that Uber Eats takes. That's pretty typical about all of our clients. How do I get that 30% back with the ever-rising volume of online orders?
Right. What about labor costs? Those are rising, and a good employees are always hard to find. How has technology helped a restaurant in that regard, such as labor scheduling, integration from GiveX POS to labor scheduling apps?
I have a couple of quick examples that can support that cost savings through integration. We had a client who had 3 restaurants out in the west coast of Canada, and their busiest nights were Thursday and Friday, where they'd have to have one sole employee sitting beside those 5 delivery tablets, taking the orders and pounding them into the POS. That was a labor cost of 6 hours per shift plus a portion of the gratuities.
Wow.
So we integrated them. That means orders from online flow directly into the POS. So no need for that 12 hours of labor. So there was a specific savings there. Within the POS, the whole labor scheduling is a key factor in trying to control labor costs. If you have a tight schedule, the POS acts like a time clock. So if Don Smith tries to come in 30 minutes early, change into my uniform, flirt with the rest of the staff, and I clock in, well, unless I'm scheduled and my clock-in times are adhered to, I might clock in 30 minutes early and clock out 30 minutes late, and I've got myself an extra hour of labor. With a good labor scheduling program, you prevent all that from happening.
It would appear that more and more locations are adopting KDS. Why do you think that is happening?
Well, that's pretty funny because for the longest time, I really did not like KDS. I had 3 years as a short order cook in the large hotel where I would serve 650 breakfasts a day or be part of the team. And all I can remember is very Hell's Kitchen-like order yelling, loud voices, trying to coordinate. But then I saw a great restaurant use KDS and really use it well. So besides the fact that it reduces expenses in paper and ribbons, which often wear out in a busy restaurant, it actually adds a training component to the whole restaurant staff management. So Don Smith, as a junior cook, can touch a button and I can see exactly how the item should be plated when it's finished cooking. And if there's an item that I haven't served or it's infrequently served, I can touch a button on the KDS and see how it should be made. And then there's management reports for the ever-growing legion of operators and kitchen managers who are very data-focused. The speed of service reports. Why does a burger who's supposed to take 6 minutes take 7 minutes on a Tuesday but 5 minutes on a Friday? What are the efficiencies on a Friday? Is it more staff? Is it better trained? So these speed of service reports give kitchen managers data to tell them why things were slow or fast and what needs to be done to try and keep that guest experience consistent all the time.
Is the traditional POS hardware station becoming obsolete? What's trending? What are we seeing now?
5 years ago, you'd go into a restaurant and you'd normally see a side stand, that little area where the servers keep their clean glasses, coffee cups, resets to reset a table. And on top of those side stands, you'd usually find a larger touchscreen. These machines from some of the industry heavyweights, the Microses, the NCRs, these kind of machines could last forever. They'd have to be run over by a truck before they needed to be replaced. But they also incurred a high cost and a license cost. And now in the last 5 years, you've seen solutions like Givex's POS, like some of the other tablet-based SaaS solutions come out, and restaurants are experiencing a lower upfront investment in technology. I mean, a couple of years ago, the biggest thing was tablets to take orders at the table. And every POS vendor was pushing that solution. But that was more of a marketing initiative versus an operational assistance, because many restaurants pushed back and said, I don't want to take away the personal experience of a table of two who's having a romantic dinner and my server comes over and is constantly looking at their tablet, placing my order. However, there are some very smart operators that know tablets have a great place in their operation. And we had a client that tested a tablet for 2 months. Now, it wasn't just a test of the interaction with the customer. It was more of a test of real-time dollars. And they mandated their staff to only use a tablet if the tables were 10 people or higher. And from their results after 2 months, they found out that their drink sales increased approximately 13%, because by the server using a tablet, they were able to get the first round of drinks out faster. Secondly, they were able to turn tables 21% faster by having a tablet take the primary orders. So they get the food and beverage to the clients faster, the clients consume it faster, and they're able to turn with a greater check average. And this particular client now mandates their three restaurants to use portable tablets for any tables 10 or over. But that migration of technology continues. You'll now see more people using their phones to order at the table. You'll now see more people voice ordering, and that trend is going to even continue. So while the traditional old legacy hardware solutions might not be as prevalent as they once were, you're going to still see a lot of them out there because for many of them, they run forever.
So AI is a big buzzword that we're hearing in the industry now. You can't throw a rock at the National Restaurant Association show without hitting a startup. Where do you see it helping the typical restaurant owner?
Oh, there's a number of ways that AI is going to help, and we're on the verge of developing the first of our solutions with AI and ChatGPT. Our Dan Hawes is developing our solutions, and he recently wrote a technical article on his efforts and where he sees AI really assisting the average restaurateur. A lot of it has to do with the interaction with the customer. If they're perusing a menu and they click on a menu, could they get a description or further ingredients analysis? Could AI take online orders, which we are proceeding with, so they can recommend complimentary or add-on dishes? Could AI take phone orders, which they can, or can it work at a kiosk and suggestively upsell items? That's definitely the near future. We were recently at Mertec, and we saw AI mentioned on most of our competitors' booths with no firm plan on how they're going to use it or deploy it. But when we went outside the main hall to the startup alley, you are right, over 50% of the people there were touting AI solutions for the restaurant. So when you look at loyalty now becoming the number one item many restaurateurs are looking for, this kind of thing, it can go in hand in hand with AI for automatic loyalty programs, automatic customer reach out, automatic discounts during slow sales days. If you, for example, have a slow Tuesday, and AI recognizes the trending sales at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, they can instantly create a special and send it out to loyalty members. So there's lots of applications that are already in the pipeline and even more to come.
So what new exciting hospitality technology do you see on the horizon?
I see a lot of it coming from that very startup alley that I perused at the Mertec. We had some tremendous people using AI to assist through drive-through, through online order, through loyalty, automatic mailing lists. All of that I see a great growth in, and we're going to see a totally different landscape by the end of 2024. I also see things going towards the mobile device, online ordering, suggestive ordering. All of that is really coming full circle and should be in spectacular condition in months' time. By the time the Nation's Restaurant Show is in Chicago, we're going to see a few offerings that we hadn't thought of. One of the interesting things I saw in Startup Alley was this small new company, and they immersed their loyalty and rewards into a gaming platform. Now, I'm not a gamer, so I can't recall the game that they were playing, but it shows gamers can build loyalty, pause their game, click on a widget, and go right to the sponsored website and order their meal for their couch. And all while building loyalty points through either points they receive from reaching game levels or purchases. So a combined loyalty on the two platforms, I thought that was amazing, and Mertec saw it too. So that company finished second in the new startup awards program.
How is payment processing changing? What are we seeing there?
Oh, for years, we saw payment processors buy POS companies and then offer a bundle. We'll give away the POS if you use our processing and subject them to high processing costs. We still see some of that hybrid offerings these days. But payment processing has so many options, from certainly your phone and the various wallets, to ease of payment from online, to scanning at your table and processing your check without the assistance of a server. The industry, the restaurant industry, both north and south of the border, has been pressuring the merchants to lower processing rates. And for the most part, they've succeeded. So now the merchant, the customer of the payment processing, they're very smart. They now know where those hidden fees are, those percentages that come hit their bottom line at the end of the month. So we have a very smart buyer who's aware of all the options. And that smart buyer is no longer going for that free hardware to accompany the processing when they know the 5-year total cost of ownership is much higher on those deals than with a company like GiveX POS, to tout our own horn, that lets them choose any processor they want so they can have their processing or their people applying to be their partner fight for the lowest level to give them more money on their bottom line. So contactless will forever remain here and even grow. Who knows if we get to a face recognition to be able to pay at the quick service counter. I know that was talked about years ago, but I, for one, would object if I need to present my face in order to pay my $12 sandwich bill.
I agree. Well, thanks so much for being with us today, Don. This has been a great tech talk.
Thank you, Mandy. I enjoy your various magazines and such, and hope to get a chance to contribute again.
That'll do it for this episode of the Restaurant Operator Podcast, and we'll catch you next time.
Get the latest restaurant industry headlines delivered to your inbox every weekday with Restaurant Operator Daily. With this one newsletter, you'll get the top stories from leading news sites like fastcasual.com, pizzamarketplace.com, and qsrweb.com. Join more than 30,000 subscribers who rely on Restaurant Operator Daily to keep them informed on the most important industry news and trends. Subscribe today at restaurantoperatordaily.com.